Welcome, listeners, to a brand new bonus episode of Oh My Word Podcast. And today we have an extremely special treat because we have, and you'll hear it in the voice, and you'll be like, wow, what is that voice? I must hear more of this voice. And you can hear more of this voice because we have the reader for the Beautiful to Me, End of Ever After audiobook, Cherish Voyevich. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Really excited to have you. And if you haven't already heard it, the audiobook, I don't know what you're waiting for. Obviously, once this is done, everyone must go and get it and listen to Cherish doing a fantastic job on the audiobook. So now that we gave that whole intro, let's get down to business. How and why did you even decide, you know what I'm going to do in my life? I'm going to record an audiobook. Short or long version, like, how did we even get to this point?
Well, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and I would listen to audiobooks every morning when I was running. When you have kids, being able to get out of the house, it's a treasure.
Oh, yeah.
A treat.
Yes.
So I started listening to audiobooks during that time. I enjoyed listening to music, but I found that it just got to be repetitive. So I thought, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and start listening to audiobooks. I'd never really listened to audiobooks before. My husband would when he traveled, but I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and start. So I started listening to audiobooks every morning for about an hour, and I just got so wrapped up in the audiobook, and wow. I would realize that my running routine would last a little longer sometimes, especially if I got to a really great point in the book. It was just really hard for me to quit. And then I noticed I started really listening to the narrators. Usually I enjoyed the book, but I have to say there's probably one or two narrators that the story probably would have been really great, but I had a hard time listening to the narrator. But I thought, that's incredible that someone who tells the story can be so crucial to the writing, you know, that the way they tell the story can determine whether or not you like it. And it was just one of those moments one day where I thought, you know, I wonder how you start doing that. I've always enjoyed reading to my kids, and I mean, I really enjoyed reading to my kids. I loved reading to them. So I thought, I bet I would enjoy that. But I thought that it was much more difficult to start doing. So I looked into it and realized that you just really have to want to do it. You just have to really like it. And so I kind of did my research for the next month or two and started, kind of dipped my toe in it. And that's kind of how I got started. Just Googling, I guess, was really how I got started.
So it wasn't necessarily, oh, I love reading so much, I want to read reading to everyone. It's you started running and like, hey, that's interesting. Yeah. Voice makes a difference.
That's kind of how it started. I just thought it was so neat. I guess the other thing too, that when you start listening to so many audiobooks, I found that there was one narrator that I started listening to another audiobook, and I had listened to previously, and I really enjoyed her. And so it was fun because I knew the characters she did in her previous books. And then when I read this book or listened to this book, I could kind of see her personality and like the same little tidbits of her in both books or both sets of books. So I thought that was kind of fun. Like I kind of already knew her, you know?
Right.
So they got to do exactly what, you know, they get to tell it the way they want to tell it. So,
yeah. So I guess it still felt new and not sort of repetitive of, oh, here she goes again. She's probably going to do this style.
Yeah. But it was fun because she added her own, like, just the way she said things. I just really liked the sound of her voice. I thought she did very well. So,
wow.
But then you get to see what they do differently, like some of the different characters, and I always thought that was interesting too. So
yeah, that is really interesting. Before this, were you ever really either into books or listening to something that would have radio or something that would have connected to this? So this is something that, like,
well,
you turn around now like, well, this is an interesting turn.
It's funny that you said that. Right around that time I did pick up a couple of books, and I was really excited and eager, and I thought I knew how it was going to go. It was silly of me to take on a couple of books at that time.
Yeah.
Then we ended up moving, which we knew we were going to move later on that year. I don't think I expected it to be quite so soon. And what I found when I moved was that your recording space is everything.
Yeah.
And it was heartbreaking because I probably spent a month and a half, maybe 2 months, trying to get the sound. I had to scrap those books and I had to restart.
Oh, man.
And then the audio was just still so bad. And so the publishers were, neither one of these were books that they weren't going to be released anytime soon. So they were very understanding. But I told myself, well, I'm gonna get back into this. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get back into this. And I started working, and that was about 3 years ago. And then last year, because I do work with my husband, we had to do a commercial piece for his, you know, for his company. And right away, my husband said, oh, well, my wife can do it.
Oh, and, wow.
And so I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'll do it. But then when it came out, I had so many people, oh my goodness, you sound so great. Like, you should do this professionally. And then that little, like, it was picking at me. I was like, oh, you know, I wonder if I got back into that. I wonder if I could get it figured out now, if I could do it. I got my recording space set up. I got it all good to go. And I thought, if I'm 100% happy with my recording, then I'll audition. And so that's kind of how I got started back into it last year. So it was actually from a radio advertisement.
Wow. That's kind of funny. Is there any thought of, well, I think I sound good, but I don't know if, like, you compare yourself to other people, or you're just like, look, as long as everyone else is happy, I'll just keep doing, like, I'm happy to work with whoever likes how I sound.
I do actually compare myself. So when I did some of the auditions, I wasn't unhappy with any of my auditions, but it was funny because a few years ago when I did it originally, I was going after these books that I like to read. I love to read. I actually just started doing audiobooks about 4 or 5 years ago, but I've always read. And I love all kinds of books, but the pieces I was auditioning for were like these mystery, like hardcore mysteries, like, you know, the heroine was, you know, she was kind of gruff and hard and serious. And my husband was like, no, you're going after the wrong book.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
So, I was a little bummed about that, but you know what, there's so many great books. That's not like the only types of books I would enjoy narrating, but I do know that I never got called back.
Yeah, for those ones.
Audition for those.
And just, those are the books that you used to, that you like to read, or are the like the gritty mysteries?
Well, some of them are. Oh, I like all kinds. Right. It was just that particular time, there was like probably, I think I auditioned at that time for like three or four books.
Wow.
And they were all kind of similar. I was just drawn to the type of books they were.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I read all kinds. I enjoy all kinds of books. So
yeah, because Little Mermaid is a little bit different than a gritty mystery. So
but no, and it is, but I actually love that kind of book. So my favorite author is Gregory Maguire. I haven't read any books in a while.
Yeah.
But I love that retelling type story where he does all those retelling. And so when I read your audition piece and I read what it was about, I immediately was like, oh, I think I'm going to like this because I love his type of book. So you're right. It is totally not that kind of book, but I did enjoy Beautiful to Me. It was a good story. So
yay. Thanks. So how does it look like on your end? I mean, I don't know how it looks like coming on as the producer, but when you're going to audition for a book, you have to type in certain qualifications about yourself. You have to check certain boxes and that's what they'll show you. Can you just go on and see an entire library of auditions?
You can. It's funny that you say that too, because the first time around, I was very careful. I checked. You're right. There are things that you do check. It asks you what kind of books you're interested in, if you're interested in certain like accents, you know, different languages that you can speak, different options you can check. And so I had all my options checked, you know, like these are the books I want. And so then it'll pull up all the books that are available to audition. And so a few years ago when I was doing my auditions, I thought, oh, these are the kind of books I want. So these are the books that I have no problem. So I did the audition piece. And like I said, I got a few books at that time. Well, one of the books I got about halfway through and realized that it was a very risque romance novel.
Oh, oops. Oh, like, dear. Yeah.
I don't remember picking those options. So I thought that was funny. I was very careful the next time around. Made sure not to pick those.
Wow.
But
oops. Yeah. That's actually kind of
It was humorous because I remember reading it over. You know what? It's funny because you're like, oh, I read those books, but it's not reading. You have to voice act.
Yeah, that's true.
Sound some of this stuff out. And I was like, my first thought was like, I can't do this book. What if my kids hear this 10 years from now? I can't do this book.
Yeah. That's really funny. That's a good point also. It's one thing to be reading it, but once you actually have to say it out loud, it's a whole different world. Mm-hmm. So sort of for your process that you didn't, when you first get a book and, you know, you get a job and you sign on, you're ready to start. Do you take the whole book, read the whole thing through, and then go back and start working on things? Do you go through it chapter by chapter? You make notes for yourself as you're doing it? Kind of how does your process with that work?
So I'm still developing that process. I did kind of leaf through it the first time. I wanted to see how many characters there were.
Right.
I wanted to kind of take my own notes. So I did. I took my own notes. But then I go back through each chapter. And I read it over and over. I read it a few times. It's much easier to focus on one chapter at a time than it is to just kind of read through and then read through it again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of focused on the one chapter. What I do think that I would do differently that I didn't do this last time was maybe completely complete each chapter as I read it instead of going on to the next one. Because what I was trying to do was trying to, on days that I felt really good and that I had clear voice, because you'd be surprised at how different you sound just even 30 minutes later. You can stop reading and then you can pick back up and sound just a little different. So when I felt real strong that day and I had a really clear voice, I would actually could get through two or three chapters. And the reading is the easy part.
Right.
It's actually the easiest part of the whole process. It's the cleaning that is the most difficult. And what I realized was I'd gotten all these chapters read, but that going back and cleaning them, because of course when you clean, you find your errors, you have to go back and fix those. And so that got a little overwhelming at times, but again, I'm still working through the process. And I think now that I've done it start to finish, I have a much clearer idea of moving forward, how I would go about it next time.
Yeah. Well, because cleaning is just so tedious.
Oh, like, it's extremely tedious.
Yeah.
So, I would pay somebody to do that.
Oh, well, I hope you'll be able to afford that soon. That'll be exciting. So if you are reading and you realize you just made a mistake, either you skipped a line or you mispronounced a word or whatever it is, do you just keep going so that you, or do you go back in that moment and then keep going? What do you do with that?
So you mean like while I'm recording?
Yeah, while you're actually recording. If you notice that you've made a mistake as you recorded, do you go back to fix it in the recording still, or do you go all the way through and then you go back to find it and cut it out?
Nope. So what I do, what I found to be easiest, is I stop and I pause, and then I go back and read the sentence completely through. Because it's a lot easier to just cut out the mistake right then and there.
Right.
Or when you go back through and you hear it, you can just cut out the mistake and know that it's been reread the correct way.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about fixing it later. But when I do like a chapter, I try to do a chapter at a time. When I do a chapter, as soon as I'm done with that chapter, I'll go back and do like an initial listen just to make sure that there isn't things that I just didn't catch while reading, and try to fix those initially right then and there. But then there's still like two or three more cleanings that I do after that point. And that's the nitty gritty stuff, the very tedious stuff that I go through. And even then I'll still catch things during those processes that I missed, and I will have to notate them and go back and fix them. So I do read through it initially. I try to correct right then and there. And then that way it makes it a little easier when I go back and clean.
Yeah. So. You got all the audio in the same place too then, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know is there anything you could do if while you're reading and you have to stop and then you start again and you realize that you sound different? Is there anything to do about that? Do you move on to another chapter? Because then at least each chapter has like a unified sound?
Or do you spent a lot of time looking into that.
Yeah, wow.
And, because that had been my biggest challenge, because it was crazy, because even after I read through the chapter and I would go back and fix mistakes, I would realize you still sound different. Because when you're reading and you're reading like a chapter, or you're reading a paragraph, and in that paragraph you have emotion while you're reading and it comes out in the way that you say it. But if you go back to redo just that line, you'll find that emotion or that momentum in your reading is not there. It's different. So you can redo it 20 times and it's still not going to sound the same. So I've learned, when I have to go back and make a correction, usually it's just a word or sometimes just a sound in the word. Like maybe I said that and not that. Right. Or vice versa. I've learned that if I just go back and redo the sentence, and then I've gotten really good at editing software, I can just take that section of the wavelength and replace it, and you can't tell. Maybe a handful of times you might, if you knew that the change was there, you might be able to pick it out. But if you don't know the change is there, I've figured that is the easiest way to make any changes that I need to do. Otherwise, I will drive myself crazy trying to redo a sentence, and it's just not going to sound the same.
Right. So, Yeah, that's a good point. And then, I don't know if you've thought about this much, but when you do sit down to start recording, is it more like, okay, I'm going into like a narrator mode, or do you actually get yourself into the story, sort of envisioning that you're the character? Is that something that might happen as you're going along?
No, I do try to get myself into the character. So like on days that I would read, so the studio I was recording in was away from home. So that was helpful to not be at home. But it gave me time to clear my mind. And then when I came into the studio, I would, you know, sit down and read it and imagine the conversation happening. And once you imagine the conversation happening, it was easy to kind of get into that mode when reading. I was trying to avoid sounding like a narrator. There was a few times when I re-listened to it, I thought, oh, I sound too much like a narrator. But then when I listened to it again later on, and I thought, no, it sounds pretty good. I think I'm happy with it. So I was trying to, in parts of the story where it was more conversation, I was trying to be more aware of that and not sound so much like a narrator.
Right. Because even within sometimes the narrative text itself, there might be changes in whatever the character is going through. You know, there's a reason sometimes when writers will put something into a different sentence because they want the stop there, right? It's a new paragraph now because they want that stop. So yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if you can think off the top of your head, was there any word, or have there been, not necessarily in this book, but in any book, that you've come across before and you're like, how is that pronounced? Like, I've always seen that word, but how do you actually say it?
I can't believe you asked that question.
Well, because I actually had it, even as a writer, most of my language comes from having been a reader. So I know a lot of words, but I haven't heard a lot of them said. So there are times I've heard a narrator say a word that I'm like, is that correct? And I have to go look it up. Very few times have I been right in thinking that it's not correct. Usually I'm wrong. And I'm like, wow, the reader has it right. I never knew that's how the word was said.
Well, this time you were correct. actually learned a lot from your book.
Look at that.
Yeah, no, I learned a lot from your book. I think my new word that I will never forget is draft.
Yeah, as a drink, right? It's something that you could take as a potion kind of,
Yeah. So, for the most part, because I've read so much and I, of course, you know, I listen to audiobooks for a while now. Up until I read your book, I thought I was pretty good at that. And then I realized, wow, I have mispronounced quite a few things.
Oh, wow. Everyone always finds a new word. Yeah. That's interesting, actually, because you want people to read to expand their vocabulary, but an audiobook will actually say how it's pronounced. I don't remember how many hours this one came out to, but I guess it is more.
It's about 9.5 hours, maybe a little bit more than that.
I think in print it's a little bit. I think it's under 300 pages, but it's over 200 pages. So I don't know how long that would take someone to read. I guess you do have to give a little bit more time for the audiobook, though. Let's say, you know, 30 minutes or even an hour of audio. After you're done cleaning it up, how long did that 30 minutes actually take you? Like, just as a ballpark kind of figure.
Oh, ballpark. So 30 minutes on average for the whole shebang, reading it, cleaning it, it's easily about an 8-hour process.
Oh, wow. That sounds like actually writing it, basically. Yeah, you have to go through about 8 drafts. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's wow.
Yeah, it is. Now maybe for those that have been doing it a lot longer, They've developed a process where it's a little bit shorter, but I honestly, I don't know. I mean, maybe shave off an hour at best, but yeah. You're right when you say that that cleaning part is so tedious because you have to listen to every sound.
Yeah.
So it can take a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And at minimum, it's going to be 30 minutes. It can't go any, yeah. It can't go any faster than 30 minutes. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. My whole brand is just like, what? But now just to shift this a little bit, have you ever thought that you said that you've been into retellings before? Have you ever thought or watched either any, you know, either between Disney or any other remakes or things like that? And you're like, you know, it would be a good idea for a retelling. Have you ever thought about that? Or I wish they would have done, whether or not it's The Little Mermaid, but, you know, Cinderella or any of these stories. I wish they would write it like this. Have you ever thought about that or just kind of let the other people write them?
I don't know. I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever thought, oh, I wish they would retell it this way.
Right.
I think that's what I liked so much, like, about, you know, your book, Beautiful to Me, and then from Gregory Maguire.
Right.
Of course, he's got several of those.
Yeah.
And I think you do, too. I've seen that you've got several of those, too. But I think that's what's so neat about it is that it's, you know something that's told one way. Like Little Mermaid, to be honest, I've only ever known the Hans Christian Andersen version.
Yeah.
And then the Disney version. And so I love that yours was kind of, you took a little bit from here and it took a little bit from there, but it was yours. It was different. But I think when you know something, a story a certain way, that's just how you know the story. For me anyway, that's how it is. Like, that's the story. Like, that's the way it's supposed to be told.
But without being a purist of why they take this part out, or you do kind of feel like that.
I am actually a purist. It's funny that I like those kind of books because I kind of am a purist when it comes to those sorts of things. Like, I'm one where if, you know, somebody told the story this way, if somebody were to change it all up, or not necessarily change it all up, but maybe progress with someone else's work, like, that sometimes irritates me. I'm like, well, you know, that's not your story, that's their story.
Funny.
But I love the retellings. Like, I think those are so, I love that it's from a different viewpoint.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like about it. It's not necessarily a different story so much as it's a different view, a different way of telling it. So yeah
that's interesting. Well, because with The Little Mermaid, this one I specifically, well, I did it with all the retellings because there's five of them all together. And each one I went back to dig up the original version because we all know the Disney version. That's what's out there. But I was like, no, okay, what is the original version of this? So for the Hans Christian Andersen one with Little Mermaid, and you realize that I kind of had to bring in the second mermaid just because then who's telling the story? Because in the original version, she does die. She becomes part of the sea. So I'll go, who's going to tell the story if she's gone? We need somebody. Well, I ended up making it a mermaid instead of somebody else. But it was just like, wow, that kind of hit a speed bump.
Well, and I think that was neat too. Like, I loved the whole beginning of it. And then I loved how, not to spoil it for anybody, but I love that you put closure on the end. I love that you told the whole story. So that was good for me. Like, that wrapped it all up for me. I like that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you didn't, like, have to throw the book down in the middle of reading it.
No.
I do not like this author, and I do not like where she's taking the story. Why did I sign on to this?
Yeah. Oh, no, it was a great story. I did enjoy it.
Yay. Okay, very good. Yeah, it's funny because I didn't realize that the retelling market is so big. Like, sure, I've heard of Gregory Maguire, everyone. Well, we know Wicked, and he's done. He also does a lot of, he had the Egg and Spoon, which was like more like Russian retelling, like fair folk tales that he retold. So he also really covers, you know, he goes beyond just the Cinderella retelling and all these classic retelling. But I don't think I ever realized what a big market it was, that retellings are things that people like really, a lot of people are really into. They like seeing the different versions that can be out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay, good. Very good. We're doing excellent on time now. So we always wrap up with filling in the blanks of, I love it when you can do writers, stories, you know, publishers, books, whatever, do X. And I really don't like it when they do X. So how would you fill in the blank for either of those?
So what I really love kind of goes what I just said. I love good, happy endings. Like, I like to read or listen to a book and finish it feeling good. Like, that was a great story. That made it good. Like, I love that. And in the reverse, in the opposite, I don't like it when, I don't necessarily don't like it if the story doesn't end the way that I want it to, because I think that makes a great story if you don't see the way that it's going to end.
Right.
Those can be fun too. Sometimes I like to read the ones that I know. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's going to end this way.
Right.
And I like that. Like yeah. that made it happy for me. But I don't like it when they leave it open-ended. Like you can interpret it in any way that you want to, because it's not my story. It's your story. And I want to know
how
it's supposed to end. So yeah.
That is so true. Even if it's a sad ending, I want it to end. I want it to be wrapped up.
Yes.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That is a very good point.
I would rather a sad ending than no ending.
Yeah. It's almost, sometimes they try to do, like, the open endings are supposed to be, like, either an artistic thing or, like, a, you know, you decide it could go any way. And it's like, no, now I just feel like there's no closure. I feel like there's something, like, I feel like an itch almost that I don't know where it is.
Yes, I've even actually, and it's been so long since I've read one of those books, but I remember it was years ago and I read one of those books and it bothered me so much. Like, I went online and I was like, there must be a fan page or something somewhere that has the ending of this story.
So true. So true. I've done that. I think I saw a film once that had one of these open endings and I was like, that's it. Like, I probably was online. I didn't even know how long. She was like, someone just make up an ending so I feel like I had closure on this.
Yes.
That's so, what a good point.
Yes.
And I just got to throw in one more quick question. Nowadays, when you do get a chance to read, are you still on the audiobooks or have you gone over now to reading hardcovers because you spend so much time now with audiobooks?
Well, so I do work, and I'm in actually a book club.
Oh.
And I love it because we listen to so many different things. So if I have time that month, I try to read the book. If not, I do the audiobook. But here lately, I've been making a point, now that it's getting warmer out, we live fairly close to the beach. So I've been trying like a couple times a month to take my chair and my book and my umbrella, and I go to the beach and I'll read for a couple hours and with a book. I don't do the audiobook. I'll go take my real book. And so I'm trying to get back into more hard books, like the real books, and trying to not rely so much on the audiobook. But I do love my audiobooks. So I'll never stop listening to audiobooks. So.
Yeah. Awesome. That's amazing. Well, Cherish, thank you so much for joining us today. And it's been such a treat to speak with you. And everyone who's listening, you can hear so much more from Cherish if you just pick up the Beautiful to Me audiobook. You'll see the link for it in the notes for the podcast. So make it happen. It's worth it. Thank you so much. This was a bonus episode of Oh My Word podcast featuring reader and narrator Cherish Boyden. To find out more about Oh My Word podcast and keep track of all the great stuff we're up to, please follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word podcast or visit us at eltenenbaum.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Catch you next time.